is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself.
Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are 888-228-4494 or 877-489-6350. Our direct lines, same area code, is area code 530-776-5185 and 876-9916. Our title for tonight's show is Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century. And this is going to be an incredibly powerful show tonight, so you may even want to take out your notepad and get snuggled up and get ready for an exciting show for this evening. I'd like to invite each of you as well to my show page with bbsradio.com. As you all know, I always make sure that I have a wealth of information about our guest every Tuesday night, and it is a true honor to be with each of you once again. And before I invite our guest for tonight onto the show, please allow me to share some wonderful information about our guest. His name is Dr. John J. Hopper. He is a clinical hypnotherapist, futurist, medical research scientist, public speaker, and writer with the nonprofit corporation American Delpha Academy. He is a graduate of the American Institute of Hypnotherapy, California College for Health Science, and Central Washington University. A former computer specialist, electronics engineer, and a senior mental health counselor with the Department of Defense, and a disabled veteran of the U.S. Army, today he is a radio TV talk show guest in Canada, USA, and UK, speaking to our worldwide changes in climate, culture, and consciousness over all else. John and Connie have 3 adult children, 8 grandchildren, and reside in Spokane, Washington, the city that means in its Native American tradition, translation, Children of the Sun. And without further delay, let's all give John a warm welcome to the show. Welcome.
Aloha.
Aloha to you, John. It is an honor to have you on this show tonight. And I'm ready and excited about the information you're about to share with all of us tonight.
Well, thank you so much, Leilani, for the invitation to speak. And, yes, I am still passionate about sharing the insights that have been given to me. You know, and my story began back about 20 years ago, in fact, 1988, when I saw a physicist colleague of mine, George Vigay was his name. He was a Cajun from Louisiana, and like I say, a top-notch scientist with the U.S. government, who had died suddenly in November of 1987 of a massive heart attack when he was coming to the office that day. And that put me into a real deep grief cycle that started me asking the bigger questions in life. You know, why are we here? What is our purpose? And in June of 1988 is when the odyssey really began for me, because I saw my friend George come back to life, so to speak. He appeared to me in my master bedroom in a little town called Silverdale, Washington, where I was working for the U.S. Navy by day. And George conveyed to me a telepathic message that I think the world needs to hear, and specifically it is, we do not die.
Yes, That's so true. And you know, John, this is a very important message to convey to our sisters and brothers worldwide, because life is infinite, isn't it?
Yes, it's infinite and it's multidimensional. And one of the things that really threw me off guard was the fact that my friend George appeared to me as a holographic image. And I was immediately put into an altered state of consciousness that I would now call trance. But, you know, trance has many connotations. The trance I'm talking about is the trance of the mystics and of the prophets and of the shamans, this state of mind that connects you to the source of all life, what I now call the fifth dimension. The fifth dimension in physics is the source of light. So, again, you know, we have Bible and science agreeing on that idea that in the beginning God said, let there be light, and there was light. So this is where I saw my friend, in this huge, well-lit dimension.
Yes. Well, let's go back here for just one moment, if we may, John, and kind of give us a synopsis of where you were at the time of your friend coming to see you after he made his transition. I'd like to set that stage up of where your mindset was at that time.
Yes, and that's very important because
yes,
our belief systems, you know, determine our perceptions to a great extent. And my belief system was that if there was an otherworldly realm called heaven, it certainly didn't have anything to do with this earth, that it was otherworldly by definition. But I was totally wrong about that idea. I came from a traditional scientific background, classical physics background that said, you know, that this is pretty much it, that, you know, there's really nothing beyond the physical manifestation of energy and you know, atoms and et cetera. And the important point of that is, though, that that had set my mind in a completely, you know, materialistic framework. So I was extremely shocked to have this experience, perhaps more than you or many of our listeners who have a more metaphysical sense of reality. I didn't have that much of it. Although I had some mystical experiences that I call when I was a child, I really never connected the dots until years after my friend appeared to me, and then I began this soul search for meaning, and that led me to quantum physics and the sciences that we have today on the biology of belief.
Well, and that's a key element, as you were sharing with us, is, you know, you being within the realm of scientific research, you know, as many of us are aware of, your main job was is to find concrete proof to back up whatever it is that you're presenting to the world, so to speak. And so for you to have had been propelled beyond that, there was a much higher power and connecting, and it's so interesting to see how scientific and spirituality is merging and doing this wonderful merge and dance with each other. And I know that you agree with that.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I'm just thrilled to be part of this process where we're going out and able to speak to so many people today and kind of, as I put it, connect the dots between science and spirit. This is extremely important in today's world where you see we have tremendous problems, challenges, crises to face in climate that I believe now are totally part and parcel of the consciousness that we evolved out of, or that we're trying to come into, this new way of seeing everything as energy. And so energy is the connecting link between science and spirit.
Yes. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up energy, because I've been one of those individuals that I was blessed to have the ability to see energy, and always have all my life. And so, and you're so right, everything is energy. And as you know, being from the background of scientific research, I mean, you can actually photograph and measure energy in everything.
Yes, so, everything is a vibration or a frequency or a waveform. And let me define for a second this idea of trance again, because this is what unifies all of my writings and what I speak about today. Trance, I discovered, is the waveform aspect of consciousness. You know, in physics we say things are a particle or they're a
yes.
wave. But that was the old classical Newtonian physics. Quantum physics says that the particle and wave don't even exist until an observer defines what they want to see.
Yes,
and so
absolutely.
The waveform of all possibilities is what we collapse, we call it collapsing the waveform, into a particle or physical reality. Now, trance, I discovered, the reason it's important, for example, for me to do my work in clinical hypnotherapy, and the shaman who began their rituals, you know, with dance and song and storytelling that led their tribal member into a trance state, was to reconnect them with the waveform aspect of consciousness. This is where the work can be done at the highest level. This is how we can change and transform ourselves, because we get to the root of our belief systems.
Oh boy, don't we though. Oh yes, I agree with you. Oh yes. Well, I'd like to go back, if we may, for a moment, John, and let's talk a little bit more about the fifth dimensional beings and being multidimensional, because I know that just being intuitive that you've learned quite a bit of about the multidimensional. What does that really mean for all of us?
Well, it means that, as physicist David Bohm would talk about years ago, he talked about an implicate order and an explicate order. That means that there's an inner dimension to everything. You can think of it as the center point of everything. Of every particle of matter, there's a center point that is actually a source of the wave itself, the wave of mind, of consciousness, meaning feelings, meaning thoughts, meaning ideas. And this led Carl Jung, in fact, to talk about the archetypes of the collective unconscious. Now, why that's important is because we know now that we live in a spiritual universe. And that means there are higher order beings of light that have already evolved up to a point where they can travel multidimensionally. The other idea that's important is that the universe is a hologram. A hologram is a Greek term, holos meaning whole, gram meaning message. So the universe is a whole message that we're constantly processing through the left and right hemispheres of the brain. However, unless we have our third eye open, this pineal pituitary gland, this is the on-off switch at the center of our forehead, If the pineal gland is, you might say, inoperational, as it is now for most of us, you can only see with the two physical eyes. However, there's a fifth dimension called also the imaginal realm, way beyond the idea of the imagination, but the source of these archetypes of the collective unconscious. So again, this is where we're going in the future, by the way, and that's what I titled Shamans of the 21st Century, because we're all about ready to blast open our third eye.
Absolutely. And I know that there are many individuals on the planet, as you and I are speaking even before, they're already operating from the fifth dimensional level already. And
yes,
and you happen to be one of those as well. But I'm not telling you anything you don't already know about yourself.
Well, you know what happened to me, and I use the term blast open very specifically, because that's what happened to me. And my concern as a mental health counselor and someone who's had very profound experiences of the other realm, this fifth dimension, that this may come on us suddenly. And I always hear the words of Jesus ringing in my ears, you know, behold, I come quickly as a thief in the night. Now, this idea of a burglar coming up upon us and stealing our sense of safety, our sense of reality away from us suddenly is, I believe, a true metaphor. I see that in the 2012 era, that the Mayans and the Egyptians before them had this sense of reality that we have lost, and that is this inner dimension, this fifth dimension, that I believe this is what the 2012 phenomenon is all about.
You bet it is. You know, it's really interesting as well, because I'd like to also talk about the solar powers, because I know the solar powers came in around 1996 up through 1998. And as you know, the solar has indeed increased by 8 each year, especially when we hit the year of 2000. Now, you refer to the psychic solar powers. Can you share your thoughts with that?
Well, the idea is very pronounced with folks I've interviewed that have had near-death experiences. And specifically, many of them have shared with me this idea that at the time of death, what they expanded into was initially our solar system, and then the sun itself. Using the sun as a lens, they were then catapulted to the core of the Milky Way galaxy, which again, we misname a black hole. That black hole is black because it does not allow light to escape it. And there's 200 billion plus stars, according to scientists, that are in that central bulge of the Milky Way. And, of course, mm-hmm. this is the focus of the Mayan calendar work with Jose Arguelles and also John Major Jenkins and many others now. Yes. Carl Coleman comes to mind. But the idea is this 2012 event is about a transformation in consciousness that will be brought about by a solar event. That is, that there will be either a coronal mass ejection or a series of solar flares of extreme intensity that will blast open our third eye. That is, the pineal gland is extremely sensitive to magnetic fields, as we know from science, also to light. I'll give you a quick example. Psychiatrist Stan Grof, who is in California and wrote some wonderful books on the psychology of the future and others, when he was in medical school, he volunteered for an experiment that began with shining an extremely bright light into his eye. That catapulted him out of body, and he had a very profound experience of the spiritual universe from that event. So again, this is a very practical idea that more light, increased solar power, and increased magnetic field strength will trigger a major event in consciousness.
And I'm glad you shared that with us, because many of us don't really understand that, and that is very important for all of us. So with that all said, now let me ask you this, John. What is it that we all need to be doing right now to prepare ourselves for this time?
Two major things that I'm doing for myself. One is I try every day to become more conscious of what I'm putting into my body. You know, I know we're not all ready to become vegetarians yet, but I can tell you ideally that's where you want to be for this reason. The human being is growing into its solar body of light, and that means that photosynthesis, what plants now use, we will also use exclusively one day. That's in the future. That's not going to be in our lifetimes, however, but we are now experiencing the very beginning of transforming the body. The so-called junk DNA is now becoming activated, and that junk DNA is what we're going to need to survive the coming climate change and other challenges that will come our way health-wise. Because remember, you cannot shift up in consciousness without suffering some type of discomfort. These are growing pains. We're in a huge labor event. You know, this is the labor pains of birth. And so, number one, improve your diet. Lots of water, lots of vegetables, fresh fruit, and easy on the protein. That's what's keeping you grounded to the point where you're going to have a hard time opening this pineal conduit when you need to do it. The other thing is you need to realize that we are processing what I call the archetypes of the apocalypse out of each one of us now. You and I come from a long historical background genetically of people being tortured for their spiritual beliefs, being killed, yes. And this is recycled through our DNA into our present experience of life. Some of us have rejected organized religion because of it. Some of us have rejected some of the great teachings of all the masters, and we have isolated ourselves from the wisdom teachings because we're afraid of them. So we need to give up the fear. Fear, as many say, is false evidence appearing real. Fear is not what we need when we open our third eye, because it will destroy our immune system. That's why this is important, what I'm saying. We want to optimize our nutrition, and we also not only clear out the body, we want to detoxify the mind.
Absolutely. Exercising as well.
Sure.
Let me ask you this then, John. Where does the light body fit into all of this in nurturing as we ascend into to the fifth dimension?
Well, first of all, we are light beings. It's equivalent to having a light bulb that's connected to a dimmer switch. And so the four ages that we go through, from the Golden Age to the Silver Age, to the Bronze Age, to the Iron Age, is a step down in voltage, is a step down in energy and vibration. So this dimmer switch is equivalent to the four ages that we talk about as the precession of the equinoxes. So without getting too technical here, because it really needs graphics to back this idea up, but what we are experiencing is a light body that has been turned down to its lowest level, and to the point that we have the illusion now that we live in a physical universe and we live in a physical body. We do not. We live in a light body that's turned down to low voltage. So what we're about to experience is the turning up of the light body. Again, this is the activation of junk DNA, so-called. But what that really is a change in protein synthesis, the ability of the body to hardwire the cells structurally into the physical form. So, for example, let me give you some real stuff here. So what we're going to experience is we might experience a change in our vision. One day we're going to think we need glasses. The next day our vision is so acute that we think we're connected to a telescope or maybe a microscope. So what we want to do is sense these changes and not panic, in other words.
Yes, absolutely. I'm just chuckling because I, you know, that is something I've experienced for a while, you know, with the eyesight. So you bet. You touched on something that's very good to me. Don't mind.
And what we're going to do, too, Leilani, this is very important to understand. We are going to be able to see into what I call the outer reaches of inner space, into this fifth dimension, also known as the zero-point field or the void, depending on your spiritual or scientific perspective. But the point is, we're going to see angels again. We're going to see other beings in other planetary systems again. We're going to open up telepathically again. We will become clairvoyant and clairaudient, etc. But our senses, that's the key here. The senses are going to be amplified to the point you will feel at one with nature again. This idea of the Garden of Eden is going to be restored.
Yes. I'd like to take a moment for those that have just tuned in. Our guest for today is author Dr. John J. Hopper. He is a clinical hypnotherapist, medical research scientist, and we are the title of the show for tonight is Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century. I'd like to share some websites with all of you tonight, and that is johnjhopper.com. And if this book is really incredible, you've done an excellent job, John, putting this together, and I really like where you've really digged in deep to bring forth this information, but yet in a way that we're able to understand it and apply it and even equate it in just what's going on with our bodies on a daily basis. But I'd also like to share this website with all of you as well, and that is Reality with a dash entertainment.com. You will also find on my show page, I have an area that if you're interested in purchasing this book, and I will have to say this is one of those books you will definitely want to have around. It's a deep book. It explains many, many things. Many of you have heard many shows explaining a lot of these things, but John has really done an excellent job pulling it all together for a clear and precise understanding. Let's get into it, if we may, John, and talking a little bit about what's going on about global warming and the global cooling.
Yes, what we're seeing is this bipolar nature that we are embedded in, this consciousness that could best be probably represented symbolically by the Dai Chi symbol, the yin-yang symbol, the Tao, in other words. This is what we're embedded in, the zero-point field, in other words, that from which everything in existence is created, is constantly blinking in and out of the zero-point. The zero-point is the vacuum of space, but that space, that void, is outside of us and inside of us all the time. We never get outside the zero-point field. Now, the zero-point field is cosmic consciousness itself. And that's what we are going into when we say the fifth dimension. So if we're having all these experiences right now in the world, for example, climate change, global warming, like you say, the oscillation of weather systems between cold and hot, some seismic activity increasing. We're seeing just bizarre phenomenon in nature. For example, the disorder with bees, this colony collapse disorder that we're seeing with honeybees worldwide. Are you familiar with this?
Oh, yes, I am.
And what we're seeing, of course, is that this is impacting everything. So when we talk about, we can get kind of isolated here and talk, you know, in kind of theoretical terms, but this has very real impacts on every animal, plant, human being, and, of course, Gaia, the Mother Earth herself, is experiencing these labor pains, and that's, of course, what we're sensing, too. But to get to your question, it's important to realize that we are, in my opinion, and according to the ancients, about to experience the eternal return of what some call Planet X. Let me explain this. There is an old, old idea that we have a binary twin star that we are in a synchronous orbit with. Think of a lazy eight or infinity symbol and put Earth in our solar system, say, at one end of that infinity symbol, and the planet X, also known by many terms. Nibiru has been made famous by Zachariah Sitchin, but it was named Marduk. Even scientists today call it Eris, E-R-I-S, after a Greek mythology that has to do with strife and warfare, unfortunately. But yeah. The ancients knew that when this planet X returned and became visible to us on Earth, that it would be the harbinger of tremendous changes, including bringing in a new era of consciousness. Now, what's important about this is I think it gives us an idea of how we're impacted by extraterrestrial, that is, non-Earth-based, non-solar system-based space bodies. And this is, I believe, what's so important today to understand our deep connection to the larger universe and get us away from the you might say, just Gaia-centric ideas. You know, we think we're the ones being impacted alone. Not true. We are seeing tremendous changes on every planetary body in this solar system. And as you had mentioned, the sun itself is going through great changes. So
yes,
to the point, in fact, that David Hathaway, a solar scientist at NASA, says that around the year 2012, we will have the largest eruption of solar flares since Galileo first put an eye to a telescope 400 years ago. So this is serious stuff, and we need to prepare for it. And, again, that's the value of our conversation, is to educate and hopefully soften the blow a little bit of what's going to happen.
And you're absolutely right, John, because for the past 4 years in my broadcast, you know, I've that was one of the main messages that I continuously put out to all the listeners, that, you know, it's time for all of us, when I say take responsibility and accountability, what that really truly means is, you know, is plugging back in and taking care of ourselves, our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies, and also supporting each other worldwide, and let go of all the separation that we've lived with for so long, but also taking that responsibility and taking actions to prepare for these tremendous shifts that Mother Earth is going through, as we are as well.
Yes, in fact, we're in a resonant relationship with the core of the Earth. This Schumann resonant cavity, which is the frequency of trance, by the way, of about 7.8 hertz or cycles per second, our theta brain wave, in other words, is what the core of the Earth resonates with the upper atmosphere of the planet in the magnetosphere. Now, this is important. This is a really profound idea, but it's been confirmed to me many times through my interviews with near-death experiencers, and that is this. Our dead do not, leap into another heavenly realm that is not connected to the Earth, at least not in this cycle of evolution. What happens is there's multi-layers to the Earth. In the magnetosphere above our head, a few thousand miles, are all the cities of gold and crystal, all these phenomenal things we've heard people talk about in the sacred scriptures of the world are true. They exist in the zero-point field, but in the magnetosphere, and we reincarnate from those realms when we resonate with the energy and the time that we need to be here in the body, so to speak, in the physical self, through the core of the Earth. Mother Earth is this huge transformer of energy, in other words, and we come into this body from the core of the Earth through our mother's womb into this realm, and it's important that we regain that knowledge, because what we do, you know, here impacts our reincarnation cycle, and once we become conscious of what I'm talking about, you can actually direct your next life in this lifetime.
Yes, you are so right about that. You know, I've heard many a times, because I've known about the planet that was behind this, the sun, which I've been told that it was as the planet of Archangel Michael, which many of us know him as Michael. And so my understanding as well is it's all one and the same with the planet X, is this is actually Archangel Michael's planet.
Well, you know, that's interesting, because the cuneiform writings of the Sumerians defined this planet X that I'm using from a scientific standpoint. That's what we called a planet that we calculated was disturbing the gravitational and orbital mechanics of the outer planets, Neptune and Pluto, for example, though Pluto's now been downgraded to a non-planet status, to a brown dwarf. But the point is that this idea of a planet X, a binary twin star who has, like Sirius, for example, the Egyptians tuned the pyramid, one of the king's chamber, to Sirius, and of course the three adjacent pyramids to the Great Pyramid, we now know through the research, is a mirror image of the three belt stars of Orion in the Orion constellation. Why is this important? It's important because we're now sensing that all stellar frequencies, all planetary bodies, space bodies, suns, galaxies, emit a tremendous evolutionary energy, a magnetic field that actually impacts our biology and our psychology, everything. It has to do with a magnetic signature. Now, this planet X is considered to be maybe 50,000 times more magnetic than our sun. It's also thousands of times more dense than a hard diamond. Now, what does that mean? It means that we're about ready to experience this tremendous transformation in consciousness and climate and civilization, because we're going to detect in our bodies this tremendous magnetic influx of energy. And so again, we're coming kind of full circle to this idea of the Egyptians, as above, so below, as within, so without.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's really interesting because I have, he's a regular guest on my radio show, and his name is Todd Stockwell, and I've been studying with him for quite some time, and these are all the areas that he travels all over the United States to really help and assist people to get on, you know, to get connected with all of these things. And
wonderful.
Yes, you bet. I'd love to introduce the two of you. But you know what I was thinking as you were speaking and sharing with all of us tonight is I'd really like to convey this message to everyone that is tuned into the show tonight is the magnitude of John coming on to this show tonight and sharing with all of you and why it's so profound is because he has a strong background as a scientific researcher, and then through his personal experience with his dear friend making the transition, he was able to bring together a marriage of spirituality into the scientific, his scientific background. And he's been able to literally, and as all of you know, so much of the truth has been separated. So everyone out there has a bit of truth here and a bit of truth there. And John has brought a lot of the truth, not only scientifically, but on a very deep spiritual level, and has brought it together for us to see a full, defined picture of clarity of our divine connection to the whole. Wouldn't you agree with that, John?
That's beautifully said, wonderfully done there. And yes, I think that, you know, what's important to understand is this idea that, you know, Michael Cremo, who wrote some wonderful books on archaeology, wrote a book called Human Devolution, and it's kind of a counterstatement to Darwin's theory. The important point, though, of Michael Cremo's work is he's concluded that we all start as light beings, that we don't evolve as much as we devolve. That is, we begin in a Garden of Eden state. We have a light body that is then again turned down in power, as I suggested earlier. And we need to get back to this idea that we're not fallen except in consciousness. We're not fallen or cast out from anywhere. We have, the dimmer switch has been turned down on the sun, which turns down the light on all the planets, including the earth. And then, of course, all the animals, plants, and beings like ourselves have suffered through this eons of being in the dark, of the dark ages, of being, you know, struggling, trying to remember. As Plato said, none of us learn anything. It's all a remembering. And that is because we really started at the highest end of the ladder, not the lowest. We're not trying to climb up as much as we're trying to tune up into the fifth dimension.
You bet. Well, you know what's really interesting, too, that I really appreciate as well, John, is that is you being able to come forth and really speak about this in a very powerful, empowering way. Because, see, so many people out there, the first thing that they actually do is go into fear. They think
that's
that,
right.
You know, go ahead, I apologize.
So much in my clinical, you know, my clinical work, I see so much fear that it really has just debilitated the individual to the point where they really can't sense this higher realm because they're afraid of it. They're cowering from it. And, you know, we can't say that enough, that we're, you know, conceived in love and we're going to be reconnected to the source of that love. The downside is, as I say, we're going to get to heaven, so to speak, but it goes through downtown hell. And what I mean by that is this, again, this idea, the archetypes of the apocalypse. We have been spoon-fed the book of Revelation so much so we forgot its symbolic meaning. It is a true statement. It is a wonderful document at the end of the New Testament, but it does not mean the end of the world. It means the end of the world as we know it. The collective unconscious, as I say, the zero-point field, is trying to become conscious through us. That's the overall message, that we have to process, or as Carl Jung said, we don't create light by, you know, shining a light on it as much as we pull the darkness through us and transform it into light. So, you know, the old idea, you can only heal what you feel.
Yes.
So we can feel like hell most of the time, but we're really doing God's work, as I put it. We're trying to process this end time scenario through us, the Armageddon idea, the end battle to end all battles. That is something that right now we're struggling with in the real world. The major players, China, Russia, Israel, Iran, and other countries, India, Pakistan, and the United States, all could be drawn into a conflict only because they do not understand the archetypes of the apocalypse. But what I say is, don't let the archetypes beat you up. You must wake up and understand that consciousness is what everything is made of. Therefore, what we see in front of us, in front of our eyes, is what we created behind our eyes initially. It's just projected out into this world we call real, but as all sages will tell you, it's an illusion. It's not that it's not real, it's that we created it and think it's real. It's one of the most marvelous magic tricks ever put forth in the universe.
I agree with you, John, absolutely. When you were talking about that, I reflected back on the movie Matrix, because, you know, many people watched that movie, you know, and they were going, oh, it's just about a bunch of computers, you know, but it had profound spiritual messages that it was conveying to us, and that basic bottom line to it is we're in a hologram. And the world that we live in is built on illusions that we've created.
That we have created. That's right. It's illusions that we are separate from the source of all creation at its foundation. That's the big lie. The big lie is that we are the human part of God. That's the truth. The lie is that we're not the human part of God. And so we dance around that all the time in our organized religions, but this is so profound an insight that it does seem to scare people. We have been taught to be afraid of the divine. Remember, we heard probably in our childhood at some point that, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well,
yes.
Perhaps if we understand that the power that generates the stars is what we're a part of, I could see that would cause me to tremble on occasion, but tremble from joy, not fear.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is going to be a tremendous thing, Leilani, to be able to watch everyone wake up kind of en masse here very soon and look around and just bow to each other and say, Namaste, I salute the divinity in you.
Yes, well, you bet, John. You know, I just got back from, it's actually 5 days for me, but I spent the weekend, one, working with children, and what I was doing with them is actually communicating with them telepathically and having them exercise and giving them the sacred space that they could communicate back with me telepathic as well. But it wasn't just about working with them. And they sat among various age groups from as young as 18 years old and as old as in their 60s in this class. And we invited them in because, as you and I both know, they're very connected and fully awakened. They just need to know that they have a safe space to exercise their spiritual gifts. But with all of that said, is that that's what I've been working on, is the 144 spiritual DNAs, working on letting go and detoxing the DNA debris that has created and locked us up in our own bondage of course, as you know, fear, worry, low self-esteem, all those different types of emotions that we normally feel and think that we are, but that is not even who we are. You know what I'm saying.
That's right. That's right. You bet. And what's important about what you're saying is this greater idea from what we call dynamics theory or nonlinear mathematics, the idea of chaos and strange attractors. And the point I want to make is that, you know, it looks like the world is going into chaotic times, and it is for a reason. Chaos always leads to more order. And the more chaos, the more oscillations between chaotic systems lead to novelty or creative, spontaneous action by the universe. So as we see the collapse of the stock market, as we see more tensions between nations, as we hear about wars and rumors of wars, rejoice. The thing of it is, don't get caught up in that negative spin. What you want to do is go into the inner self, into the core of yourself, in the silence, and just, as we say in some circles, practice the presence of cosmic consciousness, the divine order. So out of chaos comes order, and that's important to remember. So the worst things that can happen will always lead to the best things in potential. So we are called, however, to keep that in mind, not get caught up in the spin, and just go to the center and be still and know that everything is going to be all right.
Absolutely. And just a reminder to all of you, you've all have learned that when we refer to the core, we're actually talking about the heart chakra. Remember, we have shared with you as well, is that we hold the entire universe right within our own cores. And it's very important for all of us to go within ourselves. It's so important for all of us to do that. Also, I'd like to remind you the importance of letting go of all those lower frequencies that we've led, that has led us to believe we were less than. It's time for us to stop being small. It's time for us to say yes to us and say yes to our greatness.
Well said again. Yes, that's right. That our great self is what we're growing into. And so we need to remember that our lower sense of self, our center of consciousness that we call our ego, is but a stepping stone to our great self, this sense that we're connected to everything, that we participated in the co-creation of the universe in the very beginning, and now is the time to become conscious of that again. So it's extremely important to know there is a purpose to creation, and that we're an integral part of that meaning that will surpass all knowledge. We'll go beyond what we currently know into an incredible state of consciousness that just knows it is and that it is immortal.
Well, knowing that you are also a radio host as well, John, I have actually been working with a man and another scientist, scientific researcher, and what they have literally been doing is measuring in the lab this individual's brain waves. What they have found is that all his brain centers are completely activated.
That's yeah. Wonderful news to hear that. Thank you.
We do yeah. Have those individuals. I'm working on bringing him on to BBS Radio to share with everyone. And one of the areas that he actually works on is the magnetic fields of an individual. And I'd like to explore a little bit more about why it's so important when it comes to the magnetic fields, if you would share that
yes.
With us.
Yes, absolutely. That is a key insight to my research. When I realized that consciousness itself contains a magnetic signature, that is profound. And what that means is this. the zero-point field, again, this is the energy at absolute 0 degrees that we thought was basically non-existent. We did not think any activity occurred in a vacuum at approximately 474 degrees Fahrenheit. We thought everything stopped, but it does not. It's constantly jittering. And in fact, we have a little saying now, you know, if you want to get something done, jiggle the ether. And that is correct. Every thought jiggles the ether. Every feeling, which is a magnetic signature, aligns with the zero-point field. This is what you were talking about, the heart chakra and why that's important. The heart senses the field. It feels the field. The brain, however, tries to tease out of that feeling what it means for us. So both need to be aligned and connected, thoughts and feelings, be integrated. However, magnetics is the key. When we, for example, fast or pray or go into an altered state that we call trance, this is the optimal magnetic strength that we want to create miracles on command. This is what gets the job done. When you become coherent and calm and centered, you can create a tremendous force field of magnetics. The law of attraction, as we hear it today, but that's the truth. That was the ancient wisdom. That's the purpose of all sacred sites, all temples, all pyramids. That has to do with raising the magnetic signature of our consciousness.
Yes, 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 yes. I'd like to share once again these websites with all of you tonight, and that is johnjhopper.com and reality-entertainment.com. I also have listed on my show page for your convenience of where you can actually get the book titled Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century. I have a toll-free number for all of you, and I have to tell you guys, this is a well-put-together book. It touches on many, many, many areas, and once again, as I had shared with all of you earlier, is that John has done a wonderful job of not only giving his scientific understanding, but also the spirituality, and he's done an incredible job. This is one of those books you definitely wouldn't want to loan out to anyone. You'll want to keep it for yourself. But with that said, you all know the importance of sharing your knowledge and wisdom with everyone you come in contact. And remember this, each one of you does indeed make a difference every moment that unfolds in your day. And so it's time for all of you to give yourselves to permission to say yes to you. Be your greatness. On that note, John, let's talk a little bit more about what's going on with what we're seeing. You know, we are now starting to witness as well. Our banks are going into trouble now. We've had many troubles with the loan companies. We're seeing a lot of that happening with all these corporations and so forth. Can you share with us your thought and how all of this fits into the bigger picture?
Yes, it's very important to realize that what we're seeing is an integration of all these systems that have heretofore been disconnected. In other words, we thought we could again go off and be separate, for example, accumulate wealth at the cost of destroying nature. And this is what we're seeing, that it's, we do not have unlimited natural resources. And what we're going to do is see a breakdown so that it can break through into a higher order, the banks, the real estate market, the stock market, the relationships of material goods to our needs rather than our wants, our desires, you know. We're learning that we have to self-discipline our mind, basically. It wants and it wants and it wants ad infinitum. But we can see now that we need to share with one another. We are an integral part of the same organism. We're one human being. There's only one DNA molecule, with 20 amino acids that fractal out and determine our physical existence. But we're all connected at the heart level, as we've shared earlier, and we're also going to realize we're connected at the economic level, and that our ecology is the most important thing that we can do today to preserve. Our ecology should be at the forefront of our thoughts, and we should, you might say, tame or damp down our economic needs. The economy will come back together stronger and better. There'll be an incredible unleashing of creative power among us soon. There'll be tremendous technologies that will bridge the gap between science and spirit, including we're going to quantify consciousness itself, and that's going to lead to a revolution on this planet in terms of zero-point energy devices, medical breakthroughs. We are in for a tremendous future.
Absolutely. Well, you know, John, it has been a true honor to have you on this show. I want to personally thank you for sharing your knowledge with all of us tonight. I want to remind all my sisters and brothers worldwide, it's time to be your greatness. It's time to stand side by side and support each other in our evolution of ascending into the higher realms. I thank you so much, John, and I'd like to invite you once again to this show, okay?
You betcha. I'd love to be back. Thank you, everyone.
You're welcome.
And God bless.
God bless you, John. God bless to all of you tonight. Be your greatness. Good night to all.